But today we're going to conclude our undivided series. And, you know, through this series, we've been taking a holistic view of God's redemption and how it should apply to our lives. Because when Jesus died on the cross, he didn't die just so your Sunday mornings will change and your eternal destination. He actually had more in mind than that. He actually wanted all of us. You know, just like he gave all at the cross, he wants to have all of us as well. And that's what we're talking about in the Undivided series, to where, you know, we're giving him everything, every part of our lives. Because it's so easy to segment our lives up in different areas and, you know, say, this is my Christian life, this is my work, this is, you know, my home life. And it's so easy to break it up. But God wants to be a part of every single part of your life. And so that's what we've been looking at through this series. You know, we started off talking about, you know, your personal life. You know, he wants to come in and change your attitudes, your habits, your behaviors. Next week, we talked about, what did we talk about? Changing our work life. You know, God wants to be a part of our work life as well. You know, working in integrity and working as if he is our boss and not a human being our boss. Last week we talked about the home life and what that looks like to live with unconditional love and forgiveness, you know, for our families. And so I've enjoyed the series. It's been tough. It's been tough on me because, you know, I'm stepping on my own toes. And so today I want to conclude it by talking about living an undivided life as we relate to our culture. And, you know, this is the one I wasn't looking forward to, you know, when, you know, kind of getting the series together. And you know, this is the one I kind of dreaded because, you know, some of y'all at the end of the day might get mad at me. And I'm okay with that. And, you know, I want to approach this from a biblical standpoint. I want to get into scripture and see how a Christian should relate to his culture and the things going on around him. Because in our culture right now, there's lots of crazy stuff going on. You know, you look across the news channel and see all these different things happening. And I believe that we need to look at these from God's point of view and not so much our point of view. Because one thing about God is God has a plan and that God is up to something. You know, God has had a plan from the beginning, and it's to bring salvation to the world. And, you know, he did that through Jesus Christ, and he's still doing that. No, he said, I've come to seek and to save that which is lost. That's what God is doing. And so, you know, I would like for us to look at our culture and look at what's going on in the world today and see what God is up to. See what God is doing to bring salvation to the world. Our key scripture we've been using for this series is Psalms 86, 10 and 11. It says, "For you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name." And see, when it comes to culture today, you know, this is anything about current events. This is politics. This is all the stuff that we deal with on a daily basis. And I believe that God wants to be a part of forming our mindsets and our opinions on what's going on in the world today from his point of view. So as we look at the Bible today, and we're going to look at the life of Jesus and see how he interacted with his culture. Because, you know, he's our example. And so I want to look at in the life of Jesus and see what he did to interact with his culture and how he handled culture, because he did it amazingly. And usually two schools of thought we see when it comes to Christianity and culture. The first one is what I would call a separatist mindset, to where, you know, as Christians, we are supposed to be separated from the world. We're not supposed to be of the world, but we're supposed to be different. So, but they take it to the extreme of this is us and that is you. And we are different than you and we're not going to interact with you. And there's a lot of Christians that would love just to build a Christian city to where only Christians get in and it's all Christians living there. And we live in one big happy family, and that doesn't work out. You know that, right? Because you're still flawed human beings. But You know, some Christians want that to where let's just segregate and let's just be our own thing and let's live life until Christ comes back and then everything will be great. But I don't believe that's what we're called to do in life, is to be separate from our culture. Another school of thought is that, you know, we need to be a part of the culture. We need to integrate into the culture and we need to be one with culture in order to reach culture. And that sounds really good, but the problem is when people do that, they become just like the culture and they're no different. There's no difference between Christian and non-Christian in that setting. And so basically what you're doing on both extremes is on this side, we separate ourselves and we look at culture in the world. It's evil. It's all bad. It's tainted. If we touch it, then we're going to, you know, it's going to affect us. And so we get over here and separate and we have no effect where the gospel is concerned. Then we come over here on this other side to where, you know, we're a part of culture and we're one with them. And the problem is we become culture to where there's no difference between us and culture. And we can't be used. We negate the gospel on that side, too, because we're just like everybody else. And there's no gospel to it. And so I believe that there's somewhere in the middle of the road to where, yes, we're called to be separate. We're called to be different, but we're not called to stay away from culture, but we're not supposed to be full on culture. So there's somewhere in the middle to where our Christian faith and culture can collide and God can use that for his glory. And we see that in the life of Jesus. Because as we look at the life of Jesus, you know, he was, of course, he loved everybody. You know, he didn't love the religious people more than the sinners. He didn't love the sinners more than the religious people. It didn't matter to him what the lifestyle was. He loved them the same. He treated them the same. And I believe that's what we need to do because, you know, Jesus, he was 100% God and 100% human. And so, you know, we can still see the emotional side and the, you know, parts of Jesus that's human. And I'm sure it was hard for him to love everybody. But that's who God is. He loves no matter what. Unconditional love. It's not based on what we do. It's not based on what we believe. He loves us. And so, you know, that's where we have to start, is that Jesus loved people no matter what. And, you know, Jesus never really isolated himself from different groups. Because there's really main two groups that we see in the New Testament. You know, we see the religious people. You know, that they're the ones, the leadership in the church, and they're the ones that kept the law, and they made sure everybody else kept the law. And then you had the Gentiles, which were all the people who didn't believe in God, and they weren't from Jewish descent. And so we see two distinct groups that the Jews wouldn't have anything to do with the Gentiles because they're unbelievers. And really, the Gentiles didn't want to have anything to do with the Jews because, you know, they just badmouth everybody. And does that sound familiar to anybody? And so let's talk about this thing. Let's throw some stuff out on the table. And, you know, Jesus never isolated himself. He hung out with the religious people. He went to the synagogues. He hung out with the sinners. He hung out with the tax collectors and the prostitutes. And he ate meals with them. And he treated everyone the same. He loved everyone the same. And I believe that we can take from that and that we don't need to have our holy huddle over here to where if you're not saved, then you can't be with us. You can't. You know, we need to be in culture because the world needs us. The world needs the Christ that is in us. Because if we stay over here and keep it to ourselves, then they're never going to get Jesus. And so Jesus, he went across. It didn't matter if you were high class, low class, a slave. I mean, he treated you the same. But at the same time, he didn't integrate into their culture as well. Like he would go hang out with the sinners, but he didn't sin with the sinners. You know, there's lots of times, you know, you're at work and, you know, you're on break or something and all your buddies are hanging out and they're telling dirty stories and cussing it up and you just kind of slide right in there with them and just do the same thing. And then your Christian friends come along and you come over here and you start talking Jesus over here and you just integrate into whatever culture is around you at the moment. And that's not what Jesus did. He stayed himself no matter who he was around. No matter what was going on, no matter who was around him, he was himself. He stayed true to who he was, no matter what. And so, you know, we kind of see this in Romans chapter 12. It kind of alludes to this. And I'm going to read this out of the Message Bible today because I think it gives us a little different insight. It says, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work, walking around life. And place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God has done for you is the best thing that you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit in without even thinking. See, so many Christians live here. I do this sometimes myself, is that you just kind of, you know, wherever you're at, you just kind of mold yourself to that, you know, and you fit in without even thinking about it. It's just kind of a natural thing, just like, okay, I'm going to fit in with this group, then I'm going to go. See, we need to be who we are, no matter who's around, no matter who we're hanging out with. And Jesus exemplified that in that, you know, no matter who he was around, he was engaging his culture. He was sharing his wisdom. He was doing good deeds. He went around healing and teaching and doing good. And this is what people loved about Jesus, was that he was himself. It didn't matter if he was with the religious people. He would be him. He would share wisdom. He would do good. He would be the example of what it means to live the Christian life. And then when he was with the sinners, he was sharing wisdom. He was doing good deeds, and he was showing the love of God, and he was being the example of what it is. And so we don't need to get into the extremes of separatism or assimilating into culture. We need to be who we're supposed to be, no matter where we are. And see, one thing that Jesus did was he didn't look at their actions or their lifestyle. He looked at the potential of who God made them to be. And I think so many times we make judgments based on what someone drives or how they're acting or what relationship they're in, and that we make judgments on them and we never look past that to see the potential that God's placed on the inside of them. See, with the Undivided series, that, you know, I want us to look at things from God's perspective. Because where we're at, we have a very limited point of view. But if we begin to get into God's Word and see how God sees the world and how God loves and he has forgiveness, and I believe it'll change the way we live as well as we see people from His perspective. See, one thing that we like to do, we like people to see us, you know, with our best intentions and our best actions, and we want people to see the best in us. But when we look at someone else, we immediately judge them based on outward appearance or actions or whatever. And it's the flaw of humans that we tend to do that. But with God, it's not that way. And that one day, yes, He's going to judge our actions. But till then, He sees our potential and what we can become through Him. So I believe that we need to engage our culture, but we don't need to be stained by our culture. Because if you look around our culture today, we have a big election coming up within the next year, and all of these issues are coming out and all these things are being talked about. And it seems like in this day and age, Christianity is always seen in the negative point of view. You know, we're the conservative people that believe in old timey things and old fashioned, and they're just a bunch of bigots, and they hate people, and they say they love, but they don't. And that's the way Christianity is portrayed in our culture today. And we need to be the ones to combat that, and not with our words. I think our words have gotten us in enough trouble when it comes to those kind of things. And we see in 1 Peter chapter 2, you know, we see the example of Jesus. You know, lots of times we look at the example of Jesus and like, yeah, Jesus was perfect though. You know, we're not perfect. You know, we can't do that. We can't. But we look in 1 Peter, and he encourages us how to live and how to relate to the culture around us. And it's not a popular point of view in what he tells us. See, in 1 Peter 2, verse 11 is where we'll start today. It says, dear friends, I urge you, as foreigners and exiles, to abstain from sinful desires. See, one thing he's talking about here is foreigners. Is he's not talking about like foreigners in the country. But he's talking about that we are foreigners in this world. See, when we accept Jesus Christ, that we become different. In fact, kind of basically what we do is we turn in our citizenship to the world when we give our lives to Christ. And we change our citizenship from the world to heaven at that point. And so we are now foreigners in this land, in that we don't have full rights and citizenship in the world anymore. Because when we give our lives to Christ, we say, God, I give you everything. So you give control to him and you no longer have the choice to choose to follow the world. Yeah, he still gives us the right to choose. But when we give our lives to God, when we live the undivided life, we're basically saying, God, you have everything. I am no longer in control of my life, but you are. So tell me what to do. And so our citizenship is no longer in this earth, but it's in heaven now. And so this is where he's, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sexual or sinful desires, which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. See, this should be a picture of how we live in our society today, because we are going to be accused. We see it every day. You know, Christians are this. Christians are, you know, they're all just a bunch of hypocrites. They're bigots. They hate people. And we're going to be accused of a lot of stuff. But he's encouraged us, don't let our lives be reflecting on what they're accusing us of. See, the idea is to be falsely accused of being someone who hates. But if you really hate, then they're just calling the truth in your life. And so, you know, we need to live in such a way that our good deeds show that we're following Christ. Yeah, we're going to be accused of stuff. Yeah, they're going to call us names. But let our lives be the example of proving them wrong about who they say we are. Verse 13, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people, but don't use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the emperor. And, you know, this is pretty tough stuff here because it goes against, especially as Americans, this goes against a lot of what America says. You know, like, you know, someone comes after us, we're coming after you. You know, it's like an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. You know, I mean, that's the American way. And you know, that's one thing I love about America. We're not afraid to stand up for ourselves, you know, in conflict. But as Christians, we have to be careful, as it says here, not to use our freedom as a cover-up for evil. See, one thing that I kind of see, you know, as you look across Facebook, as you see social media and the news and all of this stuff, we see that a lot of Christians are using their freedom as Americans and they're trumping that. Let me say this right. They're using their freedoms of America and not using their Christian responsibility. Basically, what your Christian responsibility should trump your American freedoms. Just because you have the right to say whatever you want to say, according to the Constitution, doesn't mean you should. As Christians, we need to be saying things that are according to the Bible. We need to be loving. We need to be giving grace. And we need to be giving the things that Christ gave us. Just because you have a right to talk bad about a certain group of people doesn't mean you should. Because when you do that, you're negating the love of Christ. And you're alienating people, and you can never reach those people anymore. And so we have to be careful, because we like to express our opinions. Anybody in here got an opinion? We love to express our opinion. And we don't always do it hatefully or you know, sometimes we do. But lots of times I believe that we negate our Christian responsibility because I have the right to say something about this. And Facebook is horrible. I wish Facebook would just shut down sometimes. Just like, man, you know, Christians are making, a few Christians are making all the Christians look bad by some of the arguments and the foolish talk that goes on. And I love reading comments on social media, you know, Facebook and YouTube and all that stuff. And for about 5 minutes, probably not even that long anymore, about a minute, I like reading through them and just, you know, seeing people kind of bicker back and forth. And it's just like, it's all foolishness is what it is. You know, it's like this person believes this and this person believes this. We have these opinions. They're trying to change each other's opinions and it's not going to happen. And so it turns into them calling each other names. And you're just like, are we in fifth grade here? I mean, what's going on? And I hate to see Christians get into that because I have the right to say something. See, we need to allow the love of Christ in our life and the grace that God has given us to trump those things in our life to where we hold our tongue sometimes because it's not going to produce anything for the gospel. See, what I'm hoping to do is for us to look at the way we deal with culture from God's point of view and saying that the gospel is more important than anything that's happening in culture today. My main goal is to get the gospel of Jesus Christ out to as many people as possible. And if my opinion about something that's happening goes against that, then I need to keep my mouth shut. Because I have opinions too. And they don't always line up with what God's word says. And I'm working on those things. And like one of the... Well, I'm not going into that. Never mind. Okay. Okay. Keep your opinions to yourself. And so basically what we're looking at here is, you know, we don't need to isolate ourselves, but we need to be engaging in culture. I mean, I love how this says it, live such good lives among the pagans. See, we need to be living our lives among the pagans. We need to be out there. We need to be a part of culture, but we don't need to allow it to stain us. We don't need to allow it to influence us, but we need to be doing the good deeds in culture. See, that's what is going to get people's attention, is that I'm against you, but you're still being nice to me. You're still loving me. You're still serving me. Okay, there's something different here. Because there's lots of organizations out there that serve, but they don't do it from the love of Christ. And see, we have a unique perspective, is that we have the love of Christ on the inside of us. And as we serve, there's substance to that love. And it's just not giving out stuff for free. But we're actually giving some substance. And so we need to be engaging our culture. And see, one thing we begin to do if we're not careful is that we get more towards the isolation to where we begin to attack culture because they don't believe like we do. Well, they're pro-choice. Well, they believe in this and they believe in that. And so y'all are wrong. And we begin to isolate ourselves by accusing. And we begin to fight the very culture that God has called us to reach. And one thing that we've got to be careful of is that our freedoms don't need to trump the love of Christ in our life. In that we don't use our mouth and our platform, because I believe that the church should have a voice. I believe that we should stand up for what we believe in. I truly believe that. But we don't need to do it at the cost of losing the people that God's called us to reach. Let's just throw an example out there. You know, one of the big things in culture today is gay marriage. It's one of the big debates. And I just say, I thank God that I'm not the one that has to make these decisions. Because, I mean, there's lots of tough things out there that you know, government is not God and God is not government. See, the government is not our savior. It was never meant to be. So why do we look to the government to preserve things that Christ is supposed to preserve for us. And so lots of times we go and we fight this battle. Let's just say for like gay marriage. And you know, I believe that homosexuality is a sin. I believe in the sanctity of marriage, that it's one man and one woman. But my stance on that should not affect the way that I look at a homosexual. Because I'm supposed to love no matter what. And so when I stand up and I make this big deal about, you know, we're against gay marriage and you know, whatever, we're isolating those people and we'll never be able to reach them. See, if you think that someone hates you, why would you ever listen to them if they begin to talk to you about the love of Jesus? I'm not going to listen to someone who hates me. I'm not going to give them that much, you know. And so why do we make a stand sometimes for things that actually work against spreading the gospel to those people? And it's one of those battles that I have in my life of standing for the truth of God's word and loving people. And you know, Jesus had to have that same battle in him because he is God. You know, he is holy. He was perfect. There was no blame found in him, but yet he loved unconditionally the tax collectors and the people that did wrong and the people that were even in the process of killing him. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. I mean, how do you get to that mentality? How do you reach that place to where you love even though you're standing for the truth of God's word? And see, that's where that we need to get in our lives, is that we can love people but still stand for what the Bible stands for. And I'm afraid that we get to places to where we make stands for issues and that we're killing people with it. And I don't want to be that kind of person. I don't want to get to that kind of place. See, we should be loving the homosexuals, not condemning them. And that's what so many people do, is that they like to play the place of God and condemn people. Well, they're going to hell because they're doing this. Well, homosexuality is a sexual sin. It's a sexual sin just like fornication and adultery and lust. It's no different. So why do we condemn the one and deal with the rest? We've got to be careful that we're not using our rights to condemn people. So then we have the issue of the refugees. This is the big one this week. And again, I've just got to say that I'm glad that I'm not the one that gets to make that decision. Because I don't know what I would decide. Because I believe that America should, you know, stand for the security of America. You know, I think that we should be protecting our citizens. That's from an American point of view. But from a Christian point of view, I see it like this. The Middle East is one of the hardest places for a missionary to go into and still keep his life. Because they're predominantly Muslim. And over there, if you claim to be Christian, you're either imprisoned or you're killed. And so it's hard for a missionary to go in there and to do the work. But now all of a sudden there's an opportunity for them to come to us on our territory. See, we don't have to go anywhere to spread the gospel to the Muslims from that area because they're coming to us now. It's a great opportunity that God may be setting up. See, one thing I found out about God is that he's smarter than us. You know, in my mind, you know that's a bad idea. But in God's mind, he might be saying, I'm bringing these people to you. Love them. Accept them. Show them the love of Christ and share the gospel. So they won't all give their lives to Christ. You know what? If some of them do, though, it's worth it. And so I want us to take a different perspective when it comes to culture, the opinions that we form. And like I said, I mean, I'm torn in a lot of these different areas about, you know, what I believe as an American, what I believe as a Christian. And lots of times they don't. One thing I've come to understand is that God's truth is better than man's logic any day of the week. See, one thing I learned about logic, I learned in philosophy class in college, is that you can prove or disprove anything. I can prove logically that we're not in this room right now. According to logic, That's not logical. Exactly. Man's logic is flawed. Man's arguments are flawed, but God's truth is always the same. It is always true. And so I need to base my opinions based on God's word, not based on some man's argument about a current situation that's going on. Now, let me say this. We don't get to make the decision on gay marriage. We don't get to make the decision on refugees. We don't get to make the decision on abortion. Those are all government decisions. We elect people that make those decisions. In saying that, we have an election coming up. Christians should be informed voters, because that is where our voice can be heard and made a difference. I believe we need to be informed voters. I believe that we need to vote. I believe we need to know what we're voting on. If you don't know what you're voting on, then don't vote, please. You know, but that is where our voice can be heard when it comes to government. But see, we don't get to make those decisions. If you want your voice to be heard, write a letter, write an email to those who are voting on that, and let your opinion be known. In saying that, don't get on Facebook and let your opinion be known if you're going to be hateful towards a group of people, because you're not showing the love of Christ. See, it's great to stand up for our rights, but know when and where to do it. Because if I get on Facebook and I begin to bash gay marriage, anybody that I'm friends with or sees that post, I no longer have a voice in their life. And I've negated the whole reason God left me here on this earth, to share the gospel. So let us think from a different perspective. And I know these are hard issues. These are tough issues, you know, that a lot of people don't want to talk about. You know, your mom tells you don't talk about three things. You don't talk about religion, politics, or money. You know, it's just like, sometimes you got to throw it out there. We got to talk about it, because everybody has an opinion, and a lot of people like to voice that. Are we doing that in the love and the grace of God? If we are not, if I'm not going to voice my opinion in the love and grace of God, then I need to keep my mouth shut. Keep that opinion to myself, because it's not doing any good. See, if we're going to live the undivided life, that we give our lives completely to Him. Nobody ever said it's going to be easy. Salvation is free. Living the undivided Christian life is a challenge. But it's a challenge worth taking. Because as we live the undivided life, it allows God full access to our life to bring blessing, to bring grace, to fix some issues that we have, that if I'm holding on to it, it's never going to get resolved. See, there's some of you in here that need to give your families to God. You know, we all have that one crazy person in the family, right? I'm not telling you who ours is. It's not a big deal. Got a lot of family in here today, so. No. But we all have those. Maybe you need to give your family to God and allow Him to fix that issue, and you need to quit trying. You know, maybe there's a marriage that you need to give to God, because you've tried and tried. You said everything. You've griped. You complained. You've nagged. You've give it to God and let Him take care of it. See, that's what the undivided life is, giving it all to Him and allow Him to take it to where it needs to go, because He has a plan. He has a purpose for your life. And if you're holding on to it, it'll never be fulfilled. Give it to Him. Let Him do what He needs to do in your life. And see what God can do with your broken, messed up life. He can make it something amazing for Him. Father, thank You today, God, that You did give all. That Jesus gave all at the cross for us in love and forgiveness, God. And I just pray that we can have that reflection in our life towards the world. God, help us to view current events and politics and all that. Help us to view that from Your perspective. Not from my opinion or my logic or whatever. God, I want You to have all of my life. And that means if I have to give up my opinion, then so be it. If I have to give up my addiction, then so be it. If I have to give up this struggle, then so be it. God, use my life for Your glory. I thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we all stand and worship today? Can I have the prayer team come forward? I feel like there's some things that need to be dealt with. And this isn't about the message necessarily today, but, you know, there's people that are hurting. There's people that are struggling. And you just need that touch, that prayer. Please come forward and pray. If you've never given your life to God, now's a great opportunity. Come ahead.